This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Gridiron Show and happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. Week 11 is in the books and there's so much to talk about, so much to cram in. This is going to be a bumper show. Really looking forward to it. Will and Ollie in the studio. As always, plenty to get to. So let's just roll on, Ollie, with the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tour. This is indeed the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tours. That's sports travel for sports fans, by sports fans. Check them out at sportstraveltours.com. Gridiron-magazine.com for our website. We're in the Picks League. I think you'll find ahead of Monday Night Football. Will Gavin is three clear of the pack.
Wow.
I'm thinking about changing my pick to the Bills tonight just because I've got that nice little buffer zone at the top there. If they somehow pull off an upset, I'll just increase my lead over people.
Do what you think's right, Will.
I'm going to be an absolute douchebag about it. Will Gavin, Ollie Hunter in the studio as per usual. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got loads of stuff to get to today. This week was backup quarterback week in the league. Next week is going to be backup running back week in the league. So many injuries. Talk of league expansion. Plenty of games going on. There's some 5-5 teams. We want to know who's going to the playoffs. We've got to preview three Thanksgiving games. And we've got your tweets and texts and emails and everything else. Oh, there's so much to get to. It's very exciting. But Ollie, before we do the usual roundup of nonsense, anything that you'd like to tell me about your weekend?
Not really. No, it's just been, I was working a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Not much has really happened.
Usual.
Yeah, not much happened. No.
Okay, fine, good.
You?
I got Star Wars Battlefield today.
Oh, is that the one that Anna Kendrick is...
Yeah, exactly, the one that Anna Kendrick's advertising. It's a multiplayer, like, shoot-em-up a la... Did you ever play... Oh, no, it's Battlefront, but it's using the Battlefield mode of gaming. It's from EA, and it's quite light on the game side. Like, if you're a hardcore shoot-em-up gamer, if you like Call of Duty and stuff like that, it's not going to fulfill all your hardcore needs. But if you're a Star Wars fan, it is awesome.
So
the sounds and the sights, and it's really immersive, and the characters, and you get to fly the ships, and it's brilliant.
So this would be perfect for me, because I'm not a big gamer, but I do love Star
Wars.
You
are wearing a Star Wars t-shirt as well, which is totally... I didn't even notice you were wearing that. I'm sorry. That makes me a terrible human being for not paying more attention. But your face is so glorious, I hadn't even looked at the chest.
Of course, of course. My head is shining.
Yeah,
literally
looking beautiful today. It's warm in here today again.
It's so warm in here. So warm.
Loads to talk about, as we say. We'll get to the
games. I bought something today.
Oh, okay, go on.
I bought a ski jacket.
Right, okay.
But as soon
are you off skiing or?
Yeah.
Just, it's your choice of coat to keep
warm.
No. When you're sleeping on the streets.
But I bought it, and you're not the first person to have said that, by the way.
I'm
people
not surprised.
People at my actual work have been joking.
That you look like a homeless man.
Do you remember
it's not a joke anymore,
remember
I'm genuinely concerned for you.
Do you remember when we went to, interview OC Omeniora?
I do. We've had a really great reaction to that show. Thanks to everyone. Thanks again, of course, to OC and NFL UK and everyone else. And of course, frustratingly, as with any time we do something like that, about 2 hours after we walk out of the NFL UK head offices, they tweet out a thing saying that they're going to be announcing the London games this coming Wednesday. Ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
we went to
that, and I put on a jacket. I wanted to look presentable. I even wore a shirt. I put on some smartish shoes.
You looked like you were going to sign on.
Yeah, but yeah, basically. And people at work at my paid job all said, "What are you doing? Why do you look like this? You normally look homeless." Yeah. So thanks for that. But yeah, I bought a jacket, and as I was paying for this ski jacket today, I thought, I don't want this. But I'm so British that I bought it anyway.
Did you take it back?
No, I haven't done it yet. I'll take it back tomorrow.
Good.
And I did something even more British. I went to watch Kill Your Friends earlier, just before this, and in the cinema around the corner, the Empire, you have to choose your seats. There were people sat in my seat. But what did I do? I didn't move them.
Give me a percentage of how full the cinema was.
Well, the cinema maybe had 18 seats, and there were six, seven seats left over. It wasn't full.
It was a tiny screen.
It was a really tiny screen. It was like the kind of screen that you'd expect a rich person to have in their house.
Amazing.
So it was okay. But then there was this concertina effect of everybody else that came in, because then we sat in someone else's seats.
Yeah.
So in the end, I reckon no one was sat in their correct seat. I was a little bit anxious.
And I have a real beef with the fact that, so the cinema chain that we both hold a card for that allows you to go and see many films you want, Cineworld, they have introduced in the last 6 months ago that you have to assign seats. And that's fine. I don't mind that at all. But Sarah is really anal about sitting in our seats. And so we have to make sure we pick seats that she's happy with, on the aisle, near the middle-ish, etc.
Fair enough.
And I am of the mindset of, unless I'm going to see something like we went to see The Hunger Games last week.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was, the pacing was all over the shop. Like, they were really slow in the bits which actually I didn't care about. And then when it got to the big action sequences, or the big twisty death, obviously no spoilers, but the big death that really kind of stuck the knife in towards the end of the film, that stuff seemed to be quite rushed, and I didn't see why that was so rushed. They could have focused on that more. So it was good but not great. I think it was the weakest of the series overall anyway.
Sorry,
but that cinema was, you know, packed. It was the opening day that film was coming out. You know, my wife and apparently you were all very excited about seeing it, having read the books, and I was fine. I enjoyed it. But
your wife hasn't read the book.
In that situation, that doesn't matter. In that situation, I am all about sitting in your set seats. That's fine. We're going to see Star Wars next month. We've got tickets on the opening day. We'll sit in our set seats. But if you're in a 300 seat cinema and there are 25 people in there, don't move me because I'm sat in your seats.
Yeah.
Just sit somewhere else.
But then why weren't you in your correct seat?
Just because I sat wherever I was when I first walked in. I thought, oh, that row's free. There's nobody within about 30 seats of me. I'll just sit there.
Do you know what I really hate is when people sit either right behind you or next to you, and it's, you're right, a 300 seat cinema or a the top deck of a bus, or they sit next to you. The other day I said, no, you can't sit next to me, when someone wanted to sit next to me and there was loads of seats available on the top deck of the bus.
The way to do it is to be really enthusiastic about them sitting next to you, because I'm the sort of person that if I see somebody with their bag on a seat, I will go and sit next to that person. You know, obviously, if there's two seats available, look at me, I'm massive. But if there's only single seats, I'll pick the person who has selfishly sat on the outside or put their bag down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, you have decided that you deserve two seats, despite the fact that just like everyone else here, you've probably paid the same price. Yeah. So I'm going to sit next to you. But if you sit there and kind of go, sit next to me, be my friend, no one will sit next to you. People will choose to stand over sitting next to that mental.
What about those people that do that, but sit on the aisle and then put their bag
awful
next to the window?
Beings. Awful human beings.
Hashtag seat watch.
Right. Anyway, so I said that this is probably the busiest week of football we've had all season, and we spent 8 minutes talking about the cinema and seating etiquette. So,
and this after I said I had nothing to talk about.
Excellent work, sir. Excellent work. So there's a couple of bits of news that we need to cover off before we get onto the games. Normally we try and weave the news into the games, but first things first, the radio coverage is returning. BBC Radio 5 Live Sports Extra will be carrying a live game every Sunday night. They're also going to be doing the Panthers-Cowboys game on Thursday night. So if it's Thanksgiving, you're stuck in work, you're not going to be able to watch the game because you've not got Sky or Sky Go or whatever, you can stick on the radio, you can listen to Nat Coombs, you can listen to Mike Carlson covering the games on 5 Live Sports Extra. On the Sunday nights, they're going to be doing the usual 9:25 live game like we used to do on Absolute Radio. Uh-huh. But they're going to be coming on air at 7:30 and doing a kind of radio-style red zone for the latter half of the early games, with some special studio guests. And this coming Sunday, yours truly will be joining Nat and Mike in the studio for the early games.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Hey, well done, man.
So, really excited about that. So,
Put in a good word for me.
I mean, I'm going to be tweeting the heck out of that, obviously, at Gridiron and at Will Gav on Twitter. So, I'll remind you that I'm going to be live on the radio with Nat and Mike, and that should be really good fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm just, yeah, it's not even a humble brag, it's just a brag.
You have to get in the at Gridiron.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't you worry. I know the BBC hates that sort of stuff, but it'll be all getting
Can you wear a T-shirt with at Gridiron on it?
Oh, I'm not sure. It's not televised, you understand.
Oh, no, I thought that would be quite funny. That went straight over your head. That's fine.
No webcam. Of course, this Wednesday as well, the announcement is going to be being made about which teams are coming over to play in London. It's going to be coming out on Wednesday. It's expected around 2:30. We generally will receive an email from NFL UK half an hour before that, so we can prepare our posts, prepare our tweets, everything else. So we will have it the moment we're allowed to announce that. We will put it out on Twitter.
Expect Sky News specifically to announce it before they should do.
Yeah, that always happens, so we'll be ready to go if we need to do that as well. So keep an eye over that. We'll be wanting your opinions on the games and the teams coming over, on the scheduling, everything else. We'd love to hear from you, because obviously in the later in the week, we'll review the Thanksgiving games in our later in the week show, preview the rest of the Sunday games, and we'll, of course, talk about the games coming to London.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. There was also a thing about league expansion. Do you want to talk about it? There's so much to squeeze in, but I did kind of want to just...
League expansion?
So, basically, it was something tweeted out by Pro Football Talk. NFL Player Association President Eric Winston recently said he'd never say never to a potentially expanded regular season. And then this Sunday, Roger Goodell said something quite a bit stronger than that via Chris Thomason of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Goodell told a fan forum in Minnesota on Sunday that expanding the regular season and shrinking the pre-season are on the table. The league hasn't been saying much in recent years about expanding the schedule ever since the proposal to add two regular season games was shouted down amid concerns over health and safety. Still, the NFL continues to send more and more games abroad for the international series, etc. And I kind of posited on Twitter that I think the best way to do it...
Well, I liked what you said. I thought what you said, I'm going to give you props for it and then you can explain it. I thought that was a really, really good idea because the preseason sucks. Tell the listening millions... which there aren't millions of us. tell me again and people that are listening now what you put out on Twitter at Will Gav.
So it's nice and easy. Take two preseason games away and add 2 weeks to the regular season. So the regular season becomes 19 weeks long. But give every team a second bye week. So you only play 17 regular season games, not 16. There's ways of doing it. I thought that a nice way of doing it was maybe doing... adding on the extra team would be geographically the team from the same location. So within conference, you play the team that finished in the same position in the other divisions. Mm-hmm. So if you finish third, you play the team that played third in the other divisions. Maybe if you're in the NFC West and you finish third, you can play the team from the AFC West who finished third. That might be a nice way to keep rivalries going, keep local teams playing each other more often. There's lots of ways to work that out.
What about Dallas?
But basically, I hate it. Just whatever. We're not talking about Dallas. We can talk about them later. We've got to talk about them Thanksgiving. But
no, I mean, they're in the east, but they're clearly in the south.
Oh yeah, there's all sorts of nonsense like that. The Rams are in the wrong place. Yeah, but you know, it works well enough.
Okay.
But regardless, you expand the season, you get two more weeks of televised competitive games, but you allay the thing about health and safety fears because you have two bye weeks, and it helps international games massively. And that's the other thing. 17th game, put it on a neutral venue. So you have 8 home games, 8 away games, and every single team has a neutral game each season.
That's a great idea.
That's 16 guaranteed international series games. Or, I mean, you could do them in college stadiums in areas where, so like, go to Nebraska and have a game because they don't have an NFL team near there.
How great would it be to see a game in Anchorage?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not as great as you just got excited
Hawaii.
About. But like Alabama, places like that, that'd be an amazing place to see it. You could do it in, obviously bring back Canada. We've already got Mexico talking about here.
Where
Germany.
Else in Europe would you like to see a game? I'd love to see one at Bayern Munich Stadium.
Yeah,
Or imagine that big cop at Dortmund, full to the brim. That would be incredible.
Yeah, but to stand as well. Yeah, that would.
At Gridiron, what stadiums would you like to see NFL in Europe?
So
Croke Park,
and that way you get 16. And obviously we'll talk about Manchester and everything else. Yeah, we can get more games around the country potentially then as well, which would allay, which would make a lot of NFL UK fans happy. But I just think that makes almost too much sense to not do it. A lot of people disagreed. Well, a lot of people liked the idea of it, but for example, people like our friend Jamie Cuttridge, who's been on the show before, said that's the only way to do it, but it's still a terrible idea.
People don't like change, but you've got to embrace change. People didn't like international series. They didn't like it was going to be one game. Now there's four. Now there could be more. It's amazing. I love this idea.
Brilliant. Good. I'm glad you're on board. I'm on board too. Shall we talk about the weekend's games?
What about if you played NFL there?
In Braga?
Yeah, look at that. There's a rock face.
You keep researching the places you'd like to watch games, I'll get on with talking about some actual football.
I really got on board with all of this. I'm really sorry, guys.
that happened really quickly.
It escalated quickly.
Let's start off talking Monday Night Football. Of course, the Buffalo Bills travelling to the New England Patriots. Ahead of this game, we've been talking about it. Obviously, we're talking before the game is played on Monday night. I think the Bills, if they've got any opportunity of beating the Patriots, particularly in Foxborough, this is the best opportunity they've had for years. Their defensive line's great. The offensive line of the Patriots is suffering. You've got the big injuries to Edelman and to Deion Lewis. If there's a chance for the Bills to win a game, this is it. However, it's the Patriots. They always seem to have the next man up mentality. I fully expect them to go 10-0 tonight. And with that in mind, let's hear from me with my thoughts on tonight's game. Rex Ryan, that was indeed the call from Tom Brady. A little cheeky nod to the head coach of the opposition as the New England Patriots managed a 20-13 win on Monday Night Football. Just starting off with Rex Ryan, the audible call, his code for switching what seemed to be a run to the left side of the formation to the right side. No mistaking the words he said as you heard them there. Brady was seen clapping in the face of Bills safety Corey Graham after Graham planted the quarterback into the ground on a blitz. He totally got into this one, Tom Brady, screaming his lineman, as admittedly we had to say a very impressive set of blitz pressures coming from the Bills. They got a lot of pressure up the center against that young interior line, and I think we'll get onto that a bit more in a moment, but we're still waiting for the Bills to run their right play, their last play as it stands. What I refer to is the fact that Sammy Watkins catches a ball with 2 seconds left, completely untouched, goes out of bounds, ruled in bounds, last few seconds cut off. Now, I know the Bills were very, very unlikely, minuscule fractions of percentages of having a chance of completing a Hail Mary from that sort of distance. But it's just another example of the ridiculous officiating last night. Just to talk about that drive alone before we get on to Whistlegate, we also had the completed catch on the left-hand touchline from Watkins before that, which was one of the most obvious catches in bounds I've ever seen, which they ruled not a catch. And then on the play before the final play of the game, Tyrod Taylor gets sacked in the backfield. They take a good 15 to 20 seconds off the clock while Stenerud, or whatever his name is, the head officiant, explains what they've given on the play. And they, it was absolute nonsense, completely ridiculous, terrible officiating overall. And then the worst play of all from the entire game was a potential Patriots touchdown spoiled by an inadvertent whistle. Now, if you've not seen it yet, you will be seeing this a lot over the next few weeks. One official blew an inadvertent whistle with Tom Brady rolling out to the right, lofting a pass to an open Danny Amendola with nothing but 55 yards of open space in front of him. Now, the whistle blown while the pass was in the air might have helped Amendola separate from coverage. It was a very split-second thing. You think maybe the corner could have got there, maybe not. We'll never actually know. But from what I could kind of maybe see is that the official... So Rex was in the way, maybe. He thought Brady had stepped out of bounds before he threw it. Absolutely no idea. Dean Blandino said on the NFL Network afterwards that he admitted the mistake was made. The whistle should never have been blown. I thought they did deal with it well afterwards. They realised their mistake. They gave the Patriots the ball back at the point of Amendola's catch. I think there wasn't much else they could have done. But just overall, an absolutely shocking officiating performance, which really killed off what was otherwise an excellent, excellent game of football. Just to go through it all, James White scored the first two touchdowns of his career, one running, one receiving, as the Patriots improved to 10-0 last night with that 20-13 victory over the Bills. Brady completed 20 of his 39 passes for 277 yards, and the defending Super Bowl champs remained on course for their second perfect season in the last 9 years. The Bills now slipped to 5-5, snapping a two-game winning streak, and lost to Brady for the 25th time in 28 games. But this wasn't like the earlier game this year. LeSean McCoy ran 20 times for 82 yards and a touchdown and caught 6 passes for 41. He looked a big difference in this game coming back. It was filled with mistakes and penalties and injuries and turnovers. It was a messy game, but this, for me, wasn't on Brady. It wasn't on the offense. They clearly missed Deion Lewis. They clearly missed Julian Edelman, but the defence was superb overall. The linebackers were phenomenal. A lot of A-gap blitzes. We saw Gerard Mayo coming in and playing at a high level, having missed so much time with his knee issue. Beard so good on the line yet again. Buffalo didn't play badly, but this Patriots defence knew what they were doing. Malcolm Butler, again, excellent, this time up against Sammy Watkins. Watkins had one incredible one-handed catch over Butler on a third down in the fourth quarter, then two catches on that final drive. But until that fourth quarter, he'd been completely ruled out of that. That was a phenomenal play overall. Tyrod Taylor being stiff-armed as he threw that ball, and for Watkins to bring it down one-handed, ridiculously good. But there were a couple of concerns in that secondary. Patrick Chung being played, clearly a safety, being played as a slot corner, occasionally on the outside as well. He can be beaten by pace. Chris Hogan caught a 42-yard catch over him. You may remember him. 7-11, always open, cut by the Dolphins. He had a great game. But between the lack of discipline from the Bills and the over-discipline, you know, the what the Patriots are very, very good at is that level of discipline. That's what made the difference. We had things like the Bills had to call a timeout because they had 10 men on the field. They gave up silly penalties in bad situations where it looked like they might actually stop Patriots drives. It was just a frustrating game overall. I think the Bills had lost 60, I think they 44 yards off five penalties. They lost a fumble as well. You know, it was just some really frustrating plays, and they could have won this one without that. Brady threw a pick in the end zone. Fantastic catch. I think it was Gilmore with that one. Yeah, there were bits of this game where you thought that the Bills might actually win it. And next weekend, the Patriots have to go into Denver and face them. Now, if Brock Osweiler can avoid turning the ball over, just like he did this week, and unlike Manning's been able to do all season, and if they can establish the run game, DeMarcus Ware's back, and they can get that same central pressure that the Bills got. I mean, it was amazing just how many plays Brady gave up on, threw into the ground because he was out of the tackle box, threw out of touch, you know, just completely gave up on plays because the coverage was so good, because the pressure was so good. This Bills defense, when it plays up to its standards, is absolutely legit, and we know how good that Broncos defense is. So that's going to be a hell of a game next weekend. I'm still erring with the Patriots slightly. I think even with the injuries, you've got to favor the team that have got the Hall of Fame quarterback over the guy making only a second start in the league. But that's going to be a phenomenal game. The Patriots move to 10-0. Let's go back and catch up on the rest of the weekend's games and everything else that me and Ollie have to spew. Monday Night Football there. Good stuff.
Did you just tell me to get stuffed?
Yeah, get stuffed, Ollie. Stop reading about your different stadiums and let's talk about the rest of the weekend's football.
I know where you want to start, and it's the best Sunday night football game that we've had this season.
Ginger Bowl!
Ginger Bowl in Arizona, in the desert, where their hair is the same colour as the desert.
It was terrible. I absolutely love this game. And do you know what? If this was... The Pats are a team who are probably Super Bowl bound. But if this is a precursor, a preview of this of Super Bowl 50 matchup, I'd love to see this game again. First of all, if Chris Collinsworth says the phrase "a little stiffy" again, that would
that was amazing. Did you hear that? When I pointed it out, did you hear?
You pointed it out, and then I rewound it to watch him do it because I know that he won't understand what that means to UK fans, but the phrase for a light stiff arm, calling it a little stiffy, was just my favourite moment of the night, even though there were so many great, great plays in this game. Chandler Cantazaro kicked a 32-yard field goal with 2 seconds remaining, and the Arizona Cardinals escaped with a wild 34-31 victory over the Bengals last night. The field goal considerably closer than it would have been because Cincinnati's DeMarta Peko was called for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty at the line of scrimmage, gave him the extra 15 yards to kick that field goal from a much shorter distance. It would have been 47 yards otherwise. It's because, do you know what he did? He mimicked the offensive play calling of the other team. And it's something that actually linemen do more than you'd expect. But during the last 2 minutes of a game...
Can you just break that down for me? He mimicked...
So he was making sounds as if to try and make the offensive lineman jump offside because he was mimicking calls that maybe Dalton would make. So, you know, it's the equivalent of a catcher in baseball sitting behind the mound and trying to put off the batter by shouting random stuff at them. It's kind of the equivalent of that, but shouting things which could be play calls. So, you know, if you're playing opposite Peyton Manning, you maybe start going, Omaha, Omaha!
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Or whatever.
Aaron Rodgers goes 319.
Yeah, you might, and it's unsportsmanlike conduct, and it's a 15-yard penalty, and it was a massive move up the field to help them. But it was after a brilliant drive from Carson Palmer. At that point in the game, the Bengals had got down to the other end of the field. There was about a minute left. They were on third and one. They decided to take a shot for the end zone. And Hugh Jackson is getting some real stick for this, and rightfully so. The Cardinals had no timeouts left. They could have run the ball. At worst, they don't make the yard. Well, at worst, he fumbles it, obviously. But disregarding the turnover, at worst, they don't make the yard, but they kick a slightly longer field goal, get the game back level, and run that 40 seconds off the clock. And with that 40 seconds run off the clock, you're giving the Cardinals 23 seconds, I think it would have been, in order to drive and win the game. Instead, you took the shot at the end zone. AJ Green, I mean, by inches, didn't make that catch. His toe was out of bounds. It was a tough, tough call, and very, very close to him getting the touchdown, which would have potentially killed the game. But instead, you give them a minute five. The Cardinals, until that point, had only one first down in three fourth quarter drives. They were collapsing like a flan in a cupboard, and then suddenly Carson gets all ballsy again. He had two first half interceptions, which cost them from establishing a big lead in the first half. But for the second straight game, they bounced back from two big turnovers in a tough situation, and the Cardinals are looking like an excellent, excellent football team.
Oh, sexy to watch, aren't they?
I am really excited about the idea that these guys might be going. And there's two particular eyes. Obviously, I was watching this game more than Ollie, just to make that clear. He was in work, so that's why I'm rambling on a little bit.
I was at work. I have my favourite moment from the game, but you go for your
okay,
stuff.
Two final things to say about this game. First of all, offensive players stepping up. So they lose Michael Floyd, who had, I think, got five touchdowns in five games over the previous 5 weeks. John Brown was limited with the injury he picked up last week. It's fine. The rookie JJ Nelson comes in, goes 4 for 142 yards and a touchdown. Ridiculous.
Exactly.
And we've been talking a lot about the old men on the offense, Larry Fitzgerald, Chris Johnson, Carson Palmer. I mean, if they all hit their mark, which I think is 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yards rushing, and whatever the mark is they've set for Palmer, 4,000 yards, I think it is, that'd be the first time one team has had three 30-year-olds doing it in the same season, 30-plus. But let's talk about the old man on the defense. Dwight Freeney had a great game for the Cardinals. He's come in as a free agent later in the year, and he's just added so much to that pass rush that they didn't have there. His spin moves were ridiculously good. Thoroughly enjoyed watching him playing in those particular situations. He had a sack on the night, another tackle for a loss.
But that's where stats can be misleading, because there was a lot of pressure from him all night.
Yeah.
So, okay, you had one tackle, one sack, but just that constant pressure, the hits as well, it was a really, really great performance.
And for the Bengals, this was a massive improvement from the previous primetime game against the Texans, where they couldn't get anything going on offense. Tyler Eifert had the two catches. Jeremy Hill ran in two scores from short yardage distance. Gio Bernard had a big game on the ground and also catching the ball as well. I mean, it's the perfect 1-2 punch. It's what you expect from Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard. I think Hill only went for about four yards a carry, but he got the ball in a lot of short yardage, kept their drives going, got the two touchdowns, and then Gio catching the ball out of the backfield. They played very, very well, and I still, even with the threat of the Steelers coming off the bye weeks being only two games back, they still have to play the Bengals. There is potentially now a contest for this division, which we wouldn't have said 2 weeks ago. I still think the Bengals will take that top point and probably still take the second seed and the bye week in the playoffs. They've just been shown up a little bit on primetime, once by a terrible performance from them and once just being beaten by a better team, because this was a great Cardinals performance.
My favourite moment?
Yes.
John Brown's touchdown celebration. He's like a demented mosquito. It's wonderful. I think they have the best celebrations in football, with Drew Stanton last week and now John Brown doing that demented mosquito weird routine. And the only reason why I wouldn't like this to be the Super Bowl matchup, Kit watch. I didn't like the combination of kits. It would have to be an all black, or sort of the Bengals as the home side and the Cardinals as the away side in their white and red, because it was, the kits clashed a little bit. Hashtag kit watch.
Thanks for that. I appreciate it. That was a key thing to point out from this game.
Well, listen, I think it was.
The other team that obviously will want to spoil the idea that that could be a Super Bowl matchup is the Carolina Panthers, who have moved to 10-0. And Cam frigging Newton what a season this man is having. And actually, do you know what? All this nonsense about he's second in the MVP race, but what does that really mean? I think he is playing better than Tom Brady because of what he's got around him. I think he is the best player in the NFL right now, outside of, I won't disagree with OC, he's much bigger than me, JJ Watt. But Cam, 4 touchdowns before halftime. He's never had a game with 4 passing touchdowns before. 5 touchdowns overall, admittedly only on 226 yards because the defensive turnovers consistently gave him good field position as the Carolina Panthers beat the Washington team by 44 points to 16. At one point, Washington looked like they might be in this in the first half, and then Carolina just absolutely bulldozed them on the ground. Cam threw the air, catching passes. We've seen a huge improvement from Devin Funchess in the last few weeks. This is again a very exciting team to watch and potentially a Super Bowl bound team.
Oh yeah,
I think I think the Panthers with the Falcons drop off genuinely could go undefeated now.
Yeah, they really could, because they've got to play the Falcons twice. And those were the ones that you thought, oh, maybe they might slip up. But the way that the Falcons have been playing, horrendous. Who would win right now? Of course, people have listened to Monday night and to your review and know what happened there. But presuming the Patriots have won, who would win if that were to be the Super Bowl next weekend?
If it was Super Bowl next weekend, I'd take the Panthers because of the injuries to the Patriots, because they're still reeling from that. And you've got Panthers defense playing to a ridiculously high level. 27 points were off 5 Washington turnovers in this game, which is what I was saying about the short field position. Coney Ealy now has sacks in 4 straight games. Apparently his nickname is the Blue Goose. I don't know where that's come from, but I like it quite a lot. Charles Johnson is coming back in week 12, their best out-and-out pass rusher. Kurt Coleman is playing brilliantly on that defense. So I think they would have enough to beat the Patriots on a neutral field right now. Mm. Give the Patriots 11 weeks to deal with these injuries, bring in some free agents off the street, repair their team, allow the Panthers to potentially drop off a bit. I'd probably fancy the Patriots in 11 weeks' time, but right now I'd take the Panthers if it was next weekend.
Yeah, fair enough. From the Washington point of view, Andre Roberts, you see this 99-yard return?
Love that.
Yeah, how great was that?
That was great, but it just shows how flattered to deceive the scoreline was in this game.
Yeah,
9 points off offense. Kirk Cousins, I said, there was an interception, lost 2 fumbles, which counted for 3 of the 5 turnovers. Matt Jones fumbled. I think Jones and Alfred Morris had 0 rushing yards between the two of them. That rush attack had looked so impressive early on in the year. Jonathan Stewart ran all over their defense, which has had a big drop off from the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, when they were a top 5 run defense. They are in trouble again, Washington. And everyone is leaving the door open for the bloody Cowboys.
So Roni Tomo to come back and do the stuff. Let's not go there next, though.
I've got that game miles down on the list today. Let's talk about your Green Bay Packers. The slide has ended. You're now 1-3 through the last 4 games, Ollie Hunter, as you went to the Minnesota Vikings and handed their asses to them on a plate. Now, I missed this game mainly because I was asleep.
I saw bits of Bob's, but that's because I was working.
I watched back the condensed today. Rodgers threw 212 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Dayton Jones had 2 of Green Bay's 6 sacks. He's looked so good. When that defense is playing well, which they hadn't been for the last 3 weeks, but looked great again last night, the Packers stopped a 3-game losing streak and were convincing. And I heard the best description I heard of it yesterday was, these records suggest these two teams are equal, but this just showed that the Packers, when they're playing to the level we expect them to play at, will still outclass the Vikings every time.
Yeah, I think the game against the Lions was an anomaly last week. It's just, I've rewatched that back since. And
why?
Well, I wanted to see what went wrong.
Why would you do that to yourself?
It's our job. I wanted to see what went wrong. Crosby, if he makes that kick, the Packers win, and it's just inconceivable that he didn't. But against the Vikings, Eddie Lacy came back.
100 yards from Eddie Lacy. Where's that been?
100 yards from Eddie Lacy. Marvellous. And there's one particular play where John Kuhn peels off the right, blocks the on-rushing. I think it might be him, Harrison Smith, might have been someone else. And Eddie Lacy busts about 12, 13 yards. And that's the Eddie Lacy that I know and love and I remember from last year. James Jones, that catch from the scramble, the movement from Rodgers and then down the sideline. Wonderful.
I mean, that touchdown pass where Rodgers rolled out to the right and hit him as he was going out the side of the end zone. He managed to keep his feet down. Followed by the 2-point conversion where Rodgers stepped up in the pocket against the blitz and just shoveled off that little pass to him.
You know what I was doing? I was going, run it in, and then he does what just no one else was thinking, just a little dink over the Viking. It was amazing.
Yeah, and that just kind of showed how varied and good this offense can be when it is good. James Jones should wear a hoodie absolutely every single week.
Love that.
He did look a little bit like a mid-20s NFL fan in the UK going to a Wembley game. Hoodie, jersey over the top, going to stay warm in Wembley. But it's got to be freezing in Minnesota whilst they're still playing outside. I hate that Minnesota are going back to a dome. I love, why not have the same thing the Packers have, where anyone who has to go there in December or January is going to have to deal with the freezing cold.
Yeah.
Just train in it. Get used to it. Make sure your team are prepared for it. And it gives you a huge advantage. Ridiculous.
Yeah, madness. Mike Daniels as well. Marvellous stuff. It's good to see Green Bay back. Just thank goodness.
We'll talk a bit more about Green Bay when we preview the Thanksgiving games. Let's just mention quickly on the Vikings side. I still see the Vikings as a wild card team. I think this could cost them in the NFC North. I think when it comes back round to that Week 17 game, they've got a much, much tougher schedule. Teddy Bridgewater actually didn't have a bad game. The touch pass to Kyle Rudolph was lovely. I mean, it actually went against all the stuff I've been saying about Bridgewater and his flat throwing motion and his lack of power. I mean, he didn't have to put power in it because it was touch, but it was a lovely lofted ball over the top. That was a beautiful throw. Adrian Peterson again had made some hay on the ground, but nowhere near what he's been doing the last few weeks. And he's got to sort out his fumbling.
Six this year,
which is two more than anyone else in the league. When you think about Matt Jones losing all those fumbles, I mean, he's lucky that he's only lost a couple of them, but he cost them a couple of drives where they could get back into the game by fumbling the ball. And
yeah,
that's a part of Peterson's game which nobody's talking about. He's having a world-class all-pro type season at running back, but he's got to cut that element out of his game.
Yeah, absolutely he has.
Let's move on to Brock Osweiler.
Yay!
The wealth of nicknames that people have been trying to attribute to Brock Osweiler this week has been staggering.
Brock O'Clock, that's what I like.
Where's that one come from?
I made it up last week. You liked it last week.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're so changeable.
Yeah, I genuinely don't remember you doing that, but I apologise. So I think we should just play... this is going to make no sense to anyone who's not a wrestling fan, but we should just play this in every time we talk about Brock Osweiler. Because he's basically Brock Lesnar, but in the NFL, right? Right? Just because of the name?
I'm not a wrestling fan, I don't know.
He was in the UFC for a while. He used to play in the NFL as well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
You're a disgrace.
Brock Osweiler threw two touchdowns while starting for the injured Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, stopped Jeremy Langford on a 2-point conversion run in the final minute to beat the Bears 17-15 on Sunday. Not a pretty win, but the Broncos didn't turn the ball over and they won a game of football. That is the biggest thing here. Peyton Manning, 17 interceptions, most on the year. Brock Osweiler comes in, starts, doesn't throw a pick. All right, he picked up a fair chunk of yardage off the Demaryius Thomas touchdown, but all in all, looked good. The running game got going, 160 yards between Hillman and CJ. And I think all of that is to do with it being Brock Osweiler, not because he's necessarily a Hall of Fame, world-beating quarterback, but he slips into that Kubiak offense much better than Manning does because Manning has no maneuverability. So he gets under center. He can hand the ball off. He can roll out on those bootlegs. And it kind of shows there's a hope for Denver beyond Peyton. When he was under center throughout, it helped so much more. There's shorter runs when he's approaching the line when you're only handing it off 3 yards back from the line because you're taking it from under center. It just looked like a Kubiak offense. They also use the tight end a lot more. Again, very familiar with the Kubiak offense. Vernon Davis went 6 for 68. All in all, this was an impressive Denver performance. That's not to take away from the Bears, though, who continue to impress, and particularly Adam Gase.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I keep throwing you these random things up off.
And some of the play calling was much better. It's nice to see Jay Cutler struggling somewhat. we'll get to talking a bit more about Jay Cutler later. But Jeremy Langford was a bit disappointed with, of course, going up against a stellar Denver Bronco defense. As Ossie Umenyora said last week, probably the best defense in the league. he couldn't get anything going. And I think that's where the Bears really couldn't stick with the Broncos. Jeremy Langford, 13 attempts, 25 yards. He got the touchdown, but again, couldn't convert that 2-point conversion. And if you can't get things going on the ground, you really, really struggle.
We had a tweet in specifically about the Bears from Ed. Ed tweets us saying, Bears at Gridiron on Twitter. Check us out there. Bears were unlucky yesterday. Can they make the playoffs? Hashtag yes. Hashtag go Bears. My concern for them making the playoffs is obviously we're going to have to see an NFC East team. At the moment, Giants still lead that despite having their bye week this week. I just look at the glut of other teams in and around that area. Obviously the Seahawks, we'll talk about them next on 5-5. You've got the Buccaneers on 5-5, yeah. Crazily. The only way they do is if the Seahawks continue to slip from the position they've been in the last few seasons.
Well, they're not a great away, are they, the Seahawks?
Not so. At all. And it's also going to require the Falcons continuing to drop off. And again, those are our next two games we're going to talk about. But I think it would be huge if the Bears can move to 5-6 and beat the Packers on Thursday night. We'll preview that game in a little while. Without doing so, I don't think they make the playoffs. But they have probably been good enough, Ed. And if Adam Gase isn't in a head coaching job, like we said he should be this year, then that would be ludicrous.
You said he would be.
Yeah, I said he would be. I said he'd be the head coach in San Francisco. I hope he becomes the head coach in San Francisco next year.
Whoa.
The Adam Gase, Blaine Gabbert, doubling up.
Oh, the joys of being a San Francisco fan.
Let's talk about that game next, shall we? Blaine Gabbert scored 13 points in Seattle. That's kind of good.
Well, it's more than Colin Kaepernick has in three games in Seattle, isn't it?
Well, God.
I think it is. Colin Kaepernick has scored less points than 13 across three games than Blaine Gabbert has.
Look, we could be accused of burying the lead here slightly. the Seahawks beat the San Francisco 49ers 29-13. Rookie Thomas Rawls absolutely hammered them on the ground, rushing for 209 yards, two total touchdowns, 255 yards from scrimmage. We've been talking all year about how Beast Mode's fallen off a cliff. It sounds like he's going to have surgery this week. Thomas Rawls is in there. It's his second time this season going over 160 yards on the ground. They looked a really balanced team on offense yesterday. Best I've seen Russell Wilson play in a while. Although their left guard went down late, that's a concern for their already ailing line. Tyler Lockett got two touchdowns. All right, we didn't see Jimmy Graham involved enough, but still concerned about their defense. Blaine Gabbert had three really good drives in this game. The one before halftime to bring them back into it and score the touchdown was excellent. The one for the field goal off the back of halftime after forcing the Seahawks three and out was also a good drive. And if it could have turned up a touchdown, this might have been a competitive game. But giving up too much yardage, 13 points to the 49ers at home is shocking. Genuinely, with the fact that you're giving up 264 yards to someone like Blaine Gabbert, you're not turning the ball over. You're giving up 100 yards to tight ends. They've struggled against tight ends all year. And those tight ends aren't your Rob Gronkowski's and your Jimmy Graham's, people like that. They're Vance McDonald and Garrett Selleck. You know, this is... I still am concerned that the Seahawks defense don't offer them enough for a deep playoff run, but they're going to make the playoffs, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they might do. If Marshawn Lynch is having surgery on his abdomen, which for those that don't know what that is, that's sort of the stomach area.
Who doesn't know what the abdomen is?
I had to ask earlier this week.
The answer to that question is Ollie Hunter.
Yeah, so those guys. But if he is fit enough for the playoffs, do you bring Marshawn Lynch back for Thomas Rawls?
We have to see how Thomas Rawls plays over the next 5 or 6 weeks, obviously. But if he plays as well as he has done in this game this week, and I know it's against a bad 49ers defense, but it's not his first good game of this year, and he's played against better teams and looked good. If you combine those two, it's interesting.
Yeah, and I think that would be the best way of doing it, that dual or triple threat on the ground with Russell Wilson there as well. Seahawks, but we did say struggle away.
I just wanted to bring up that tight end stat. For the season, opposing tight ends have generated 56 catches for 712 yards and 7 touchdowns against a secondary where we talk about them as the best safety pairing in the league. We talk about how great their corners are. That's not good.
No.
Adam has tweeted us about this game. In early 2013, a man called Colin Rand Kaepernick played in a Super Bowl. Where do you think he'll be in 2016, if anywhere? Not in San Francisco, if the report's to be believed. Jason Lacamfora tweeted after he went on season-ending IR just before, ahead of this weekend's games. He tweeted that basically what he'd said all along was true, and that this he wouldn't be back next year, and that whilst he does require surgery on his shoulder, the sort of it's one of those surgeries that could be left until the off season. If they were in contention and he was playing well, they'd manage him, they'd keep him out of training on the Wednesday, you know, all of that usual stuff they do with that sort of injury. They've decided to send him to surgery now. I can't see him. They're going to owe him something like $13 million on the 1st of April. He won't be a 49er by then, but he's got too much raw ability to not be somewhere. So I think he will end up on a team. I think they'll hope for a trade and maybe hope they can get a mid-round pick for him. But they, if not, they'll cut their losses and somebody will pick him up. He did go to a Super Bowl. He's not a terrible quarterback. He's just gets too much in his head.
If we look at the teams that probably will be looking for a quarterback at the end of the season.
I did just say he's not a terrible quarterback. Hysterical. We haven't had one yet.
I'm sorry, I didn't pick that up. I'm a disgrace. But I think someone like, I don't see the Jets being that team, but I've got a feeling like the Browns, it'd be a real Browns thing to do to pick him up, or perhaps the Houston Texans.
And you know what? He's still got a great arm. And he still throws
tight spiral balls. Mm.
So, I felt like we'd been underusing these because after the OC one, where we obviously didn't use any of them at all, I just wanted to add a few in there.
Washington,
give it a bit of spice.
St. Louis. Maybe you could go to St. Louis.
Yeah, there are teams who would find a way to use him. There's no denying that at all. Right. There are a few
Eagles.
Games. Yeah. Actually, Colin Kaepernick in the Chip Kelly offense could be amazing.
Especially how bad Mark Sanchez was and. You know, you could have a quarterback by committee. I'm going to say it now, Colin Kaepernick will be an Eagle next year.
That's maybe a great shout. You make me sick. I said then I think the Seahawks are going to make the playoffs, and it's not because they're necessarily playing brilliantly, but it's because the Falcons are absolutely collapsing. We had a tweet in from Nick saying, I expected the Falcons to come back down to earth after a 5-0 start, but the performances are getting worse and worse. What do you think's going wrong? Well, Adam Vinatieri kicked a 43-yard field goal with 52 seconds left remaining, and the Indianapolis Colts overcame a pair of 2-touchdown deficits to beat the slumping Falcons 24-21 on Sunday behind backup quarterback Matt Hasselbeck. Mm. I think Nick asked what's going wrong. Matt Ryan is a guy whose corner I have been in for many years now. I love Matt Ryan and I still think he's potential to be a top 10 quarterback, but his play has regressed in a big way this season. 3 interceptions on the day. The last one was on the kind of Hail Mary attempt at the death, so 2 proper interceptions on the day. But the one to Jaquel Jackson for the pick 6 absolutely killed them. They've relied on the running game this season. Devonta Freeman obviously went out with the concussion. Tevin Coleman offered absolutely nothing. And we already knew they were talent poor on the defense, not in the backfield where they've got one of the best corners in the league, but
Desmond Trufant.
Thank you. in terms of the pass rush there, they definitely need to pick up some pieces. That's where they should focus in the draft next year. They're not a great football team. I think that's the problem. They're in that mesh of teams who you wouldn't be surprised if they were sitting around 5-5. It's just when you go 5-0, you don't want to go 1-4 in your next 5 games. So they are on a big, big slump. In terms of the Colts, though, this was an impressive win.
Yeah. Armand Bradshaw, the guy that was kind of out in the cold, he's been brought back in. Matt Hasselbeck managed to find him for a couple of TDs, which was pretty sweet.
The thing is, Colts are stacking up these come-from-behind wins.
Yeah.
There was the big win against the Titans where they came from behind after playing badly. They had the big come-from-behind win against the Broncos. Now this game, those are the kind of games which define a franchise at this time of year. And, okay, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Touch wood. Now I've said that, they're probably going to go and do it. But they are probably playoff-bound. They're probably going to win the AFC South, and it's thanks to winning games like this where they've had to come from behind because, you know, the Texans, the Jags, there are teams that are on their tail now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Notice I didn't call it the AFC disgrace. The one thing I'm really concerned about, and we've said it time and time again, and Ryan Grigson, you're a mess. The offensive line there still looks terrible. Hasselbeck hit 6 times, sacked twice. He's 40 years old.
He's an old guy.
Those hits have cost Andrew Luck the tail end of his season. He'll be in the playoffs if they get there, but you can't keep letting Matt Hasselbeck get hit by that and then allow Clipboard Jesus to come in.
No! Yeah, exactly. I couldn't believe that he was there. I mean, I knew he was there, but actually seeing him on the sideline talking to Hasselbeck, I mean, it's madness.
We've got four or five more games that we can probably skim through before we start off our Thanksgiving preview. So let's start off with the Raiders at the Detroit Lions. What are you doing, Oakland? Matthew Stafford ran for a go-ahead five-yard touchdown early in the fourth quarter, and the Lions beat the Raiders 18-13. Lions 3-7 have won consecutive games for the first time this year, while the Raiders, yeah, they were 4-3. They're now 4-6. A season-high three-game losing streak. Matt Prater made field goals on his made three field goals on as many attempts in the first half to give Detroit a 9-0 lead. And that's the main thing. My notes in this game were the Lions are showing that you can sack your offensive staff and suddenly rely on your defense to win games.
Yeah.
The Lions absolutely outplayed them. I thought 18-13 seemed flattering. The Raiders had 57 passing yards in the first half. All that, those big, aggressive plays we saw from Derek Carr early in the year were lacking completely. Amari Cooper just one catch for 5 yards. And admittedly, Darius Slay had a ridiculously good game up against Amari Cooper. But Stafford looked good. 75 of the 80 yards on their winning drive came from Stafford, including the ones on his legs. Calvin's getting going again. He had 5 catches for 88 yards today. He's gone at least 5 catches and at least 60 yards in his last 5 games. Great day for the Steelers. Raiders losing.
Yeah.
And the Jets lost as well. TJ Yates going to Andre Hopkins for 2 touchdowns. What a shock. Revis Island's possibly having his worst game of his career.
Props to Liam Blackburn for that tweet at Gridiron on the old TripAdvisor rating for Revis Island for DeAndre Hopkins.
Very funny stuff. That was, I think that might be our most retweeted tweet of the season so far. Alfred Blue also caught a touchdown pass from receiver Cecil Shorts to help the Houston Texans to a 24-17 win over the slumping New York Jets on Sunday. For some reason, Hoyer's starting against the Saints after TJ Yates played like this.
Why?
He's got through the concussion protocol. He's going to be starting this weekend. Nick tweeted us, after what Hopkins did to Revis, is he now the best wide receiver playing in the league at the moment?
No, Julio Jones is.
But Julio Jones hasn't done much for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I still think
9 receptions, 166 yards this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't watching that game as closely as I thought it was.
So he's done all right.
But Hopkins is getting the touchdowns. The one-handed catch he had on the right-hand sideline, where he just reached out with his left hand and seemed to let the ball fall in there and then walked out of bounds.
Wasn't it?
Was ridiculously good. For the Jets, they've lost 4 of 5 since London. The only team they've beaten in that stretch is the Jags. Chris Ivory slowing down massively in the second half of the year, much like last year. A lot of lower body injuries. He's always a really tough runner, and he needs to look after his body better, Chris Ivory. He could be a full, good 16-game running back with that. But the Texans, defense getting better and better. J.J. Watt has looked a lot freer over the last 2 weeks. Kevin Johnson, Jonathan Joseph, we gave them a lot of praise after the Bengals game. They deserve it again today. Mm. Yeah, the Texans are in with a shout in the not even just in with a shout in the AFC disgrace. They're in with a shout in the wild card race with the way the AFC's going at the moment.
Did you see JJ Watt missing a touchdown? Brilliant play by, I think it was Marcus Williams, maybe, I don't know, but JJ Watt was in as a receiver, a little sort of jump ball, and the much smaller cornerback managed to smash it away. He would have been 4 for 4.
On red zone targets. Yeah, I saw that. That's amazing. Tom tweeted us saying, have the Jets turned into the Jets? Where has it all gone wrong? Is it safe to say...
For those not... this
magic has vanished. Sorry.
For those that were not aware, Will actually did air quotes again.
Yeah, thank you. He said, is it Geno time? It's Geno time.
Where's your hysterical music there?
Well, no, but it sounds like the Geno coaster could be on its way back into the lead.
That's hysterical, mate. I think you stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's the far better quarterback. It's just some things aren't quite going right. Maybe it's a bit of play calling. Ryan Fitzpatrick, a bit like Matt Ryan, has always got an interception or two in him. But he's getting things done on his feet. I don't know. I don't think you can dump Ryan Fitzpatrick as it is.
Right, 4 more games. Let's rattle through them, starting off with The Dallas Cowboys, Rob tweets, Tony Romo, that is all, brackets. Yes, I know he didn't look that great, but we won and we look better than with Castle / Whedon. Well, the morally corrupt Cowboys who cut Kristen Michael and Corey White for not wearing suits, but continue to play Greg Hardy, are now 3-0 with Tony Romo in centre. He had 2 touchdowns. They certainly look better with him, but they're nowhere near the Cowboys of 2014. He threw 2 terrible interceptions. McFadden is the one saving this team at the moment. He got the pickup on 4th-and-1 in their own territory, which made a huge difference, while Stan Campbell punted on 4th-and-short on 2 separate occasions when he really should have gone for it when the team were down. Cowboys fans, just calm down. They might only be 2 games out of a terrible East, and maybe if you beat the Panthers on Thanksgiving, I will consider this team as a possible NFC East winner. But with your run coming now, Panthers at Washington, at Green Bay, Jets at Bills, home to Washington, I've still got you going 3-3 down that stretch, and that's not enough to win this division.
Yeah, no. There's a couple of things from this. The Romo interceptions, they're always going to happen. He hasn't played for 8 weeks, 7 losses and the bye. He hasn't played for that long. But we can still see what he's got. And that throw to Terrence Williams, which, by the way, wonderful catch, midair, turning into the end zone, little stumble, back up. I loved that. That's a really beautiful play to watch.
I have real beef with that throw.
What's wrong with that throw?
I got into a quite a heated debate with this with a Cowboys fan on Twitter, and maybe I'm wrong. If that throw is thrown properly, Terrence Williams doesn't have to turn back, jump and catch the ball at a high point. It drops over his shoulder and into his hands. If he throws it into the end zone over his shoulder, I think it showed rust, and I think it showed that his arm was weak after not throwing competitively for that period of time. He actually underthrew him, which meant that Williams had to come back and make the play on the ball. It wasn't a bad throw, but it wasn't Romo at his best. And suddenly everyone's going, oh, Romo's back! He's amazing! I think it was underthrown.
All right, PFF.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm being hysterical again. And for the Dolphins, you know, the one drive where they had a really good drive, Tannehill was in the hurry up and scrambling out of the pocket. Who knew? Exactly what he's been good at all this time. Maybe Bill Lazor needs to learn a thing or two.
And that's the only thing that's worth saying about the Dolphins, because they're a terrible football team.
Jameis Winston tied a rookie record, 5 touchdown passes, moving the Buccaneers to 5-5. Admittedly, he's got better receivers than Cam in Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, plus a ridiculous running day out of the Duggernaut, 235 yards on 27 carries.
Duggatron.
But he's climbing the pocket, he's staying competitive, he's being consistently aggressive. A brilliant touch pass for the Charles Sims touchdown. He had a hell of a day as they beat the Eagles by 45-17 in Philadelphia.
That was a beatdown.
I've praised the Buccaneers now. I feel like that's out of the way. Mark Sanchez threw 3 picks. The pick 6 was genuinely dreadful. Jordan Matthews played every single snap of this game and saw 4 targets and caught the ball for 13 yards.
I hate Jordan Matthews.
They're beginning to self-implode, which means they'll definitely beat the Lions on Thanksgiving. Because that's what this Eagles team have consistently been the last few years. Yeah. And they're another one, letting the Cowboys back into the race for the bloody division. I'm just hoping the Giants can go on and run the table and shut all that noise up.
What about the reports of an Eagles player saying DeMarco Murray is not trying hard enough?
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying about them self-imploding. This is when your team is losing games in these situations, then you start to get this nonsense from inside the team. I mean, we had Dave Cheeseman got in touch saying, Eagles, what are you doing to me? You gave me hope of reaching the playoffs by beating Dallas, and then you've lost to Miami and Tampa. And Tom tweeted us, will Chip Kelly get the sack once the Eagles are eliminated from the NFC East title race, assuming somebody actually wants to win it? Hysterical! I am calling that hysterical because Chip Kelly, the coach, is still a great coach. He went 10-6 the last 2 seasons, but he just needs to let somebody else deal with the talent side of things.
You know what the problem is? Us. And those guys over there,
specifically us,
those guys over in America who are all in on the Chip Kelly bandwagon, we're all wrong. We're all wrong. Clancy, everybody, the Eagles and Chip Kelly are not as good as we all thought. And I like to apologize on behalf of Gridiron for pushing that on people. We were wrong.
We've given the Bucks the love. That's all we really needed to do from that game. Other than that, the Kansas City Chiefs back to 5-5 and on the charge. Alex Smith, no interceptions since week 3 of the season. The running back depth has been brilliant in helping their defence save their season. Spencer Ware got 96 yards and two touchdown passes after Shakandrick West went down, and the defence held Philip Rivers, who was on course at one point this season for the passing record. Not just one point, halfway through this season, he was held to 178 yards, an interception, and their offence just 3 points. We know the Chargers are a bad football team. We've realised that by now, but another great performance from the Chiefs.
I love the Chiefs. No secret about that. I love the Chiefs. We spoke to the whole defensive unit. To a man, they all said, we can make the playoffs. We can do it. And they've been on a winning streak since London. Love that. I'm fully on board on the Chiefs, and I think they will grab that final playoff place.
And whilst we've been giving their defence a lot of love, let's just remember that 346-pound defensive tackle Dontari Poe leapt over the pile for a one-yard touchdown. Technically, the fattest man to ever score a touchdown in the NFL.
Yeah, Fridge.
There is some theories, and Fridge is one that I've heard mentioned, that before they really paid attention to what players weighed, there may have been more. But that is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I love that. And Kairos Santos, solid on the boot again.
So much love.
I know, so much love. I know.
Let's finish things off with a dour game in Baltimore then.
that wasn't a drop.
I think it was BS.
The St. Louis Rams go to the Ravens, play a terrible game of football, and lose by 16-13. The biggest stories from this game, Joe Flacco and Justin Forsett lost for the year despite the surprise win. Yeah, this is a Ravens team who have lost every game they've lost by kind of 4 or 5 points. They've now lost, in addition to those two players, Terrell Suggs, Steve Smith. All three of their victories have come from a field goal. This is the most up and down, ridiculous team. But the fact is, Matt Schaub is starting at quarterback. They've got a tough schedule coming up for the rest of the season. I have to play the long version of this now.
Let's get hysterical, hysterical. I want to get hysterical. Let's get into hysterias.
Bold prediction, the Ravens pick number one overall in the draft.
I've just hit
in disgust.
I hit the mic in disgust because it's not that bold.
It's, but at the start of the season, I'd said that to you when people were picking the Ravens as a potential Super Bowl team and people more knowledgeable about football than us. You're telling me that that wouldn't have been bold? No, it's not bold now. It's not bold now. Matt Sharp's in the center, but they've got 3 wins.
There are 3 teams in the AFC which are worse than them automatically. In the Browns. The Titans and the Chargers, all three of those are terrible teams. But you could see them picking up some garbage time, garbage season, as it were, wins at the end of the year. There's no one. There is absolutely no one on the Ravens.
They go to the Browns on Monday Night Football. What a horrible game that is.
Is that the first one you won't watch?
To the Dolphins. And then they have the Seahawks, the Chiefs, the Steelers and the Bengals the last 4 weeks of the season.
Ooh.
Nasty. Nasty.
So that Monday Night Football at the Browns could be the
number
first
one
pick.
Yeah, that could be the decider for the number one overall pick. Don't forget the Browns, of course, beat the Ravens early in the season, 33-30. So they already have the tiebreaker if they win that one as well.
33-30. How did you say it like that?
No idea. Tom tweeted us saying, what the hell is going on with the Rams sideline staff allowing Case Keenum to play on? He was clearly concussed. Case Keenum, if you've not seen the clip,
I saw the clip,
takes the big hit on the sack, can't stand up, stumbling all over the place. He ends up going to the sideline, has a conversation with who I believe is the quarterback coach. They somehow let him go back in the game, even though he's clearly out, like, all over the shop. He throws a terrible incompletion, and then on the next play, fumbles the ball, which loses them the game. You know, they've lost 2 of their last 3 games they've lost on field goals. The Rams are not being bold enough. They're being badly coached. Bad Rams! You could really have been in with a shout for the NFC playoffs this year. Bad, bad Rams.
Yeah, bad, bad Rams.
That's the last of the games. We've still got to... Yeah, we've got through all the Sunday games.
We've busted through those.
Well done. We've done very well there. So do you want to... We've got a couple of tweets in from people, but also we need to go ahead and preview Thanksgiving. What order would you like to do that in?
Let's do Thanksgiving first, then do people's tweets.
Excellent decision, Ollie Hunter. No, definitely didn't have that discussion off air and decide that that was the way around we should do it.
Even though I wanted to do it the other way.
I don't know what you're talking about. Before we talk about the games, we're going to go and watch the games in the Hippodrome this weekend. But if you're not going to be in London, if you're not going to be near us, there's a way of finding out where all the games are being played for Thanksgiving. A nice, easy way, using your phone, and it's going to be the best way to go and watch the games with like-minded fans. Because I don't know about you, Ollie, There's no better way to watch the games if you can't be in stadium than to watch it in a bar with other NFL fans on a big telly with the beers. It's great fun.
It's it really is great fun. And also, it's so hard to find places that show NFL. Really hard. You never. We always get people asking us, where's the best place in London to watch NFL? And, well, we generally say where we say, but yeah, it's far nicer watching with like-minded fans.
So if you do want to find the very best place to watch the games with like-minded NFL fans, like, I guess, me and Ollie, is using the new MatchPint app. It's available on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store for Android, and it allows you to find the nearest venue, not just showing the NFL, but all sorts of sports. And the best part of all is that they've done a deal with NFL UK, which means if you check in at a venue to watch the NFL over the next couple of weeks, you'll be entered into a competition to not only potentially win tickets to the NFL Super Bash in London, but also you'll go into a prize draw to win a trip to go to the 2016 draft in Chicago. Flights, accommodation, the bundle. It's going to be fantastic. Plus, if you check in at one of 100 specially selected venues, you'll get a 2-for-1 voucher for Budweiser as well. So go download it now. Give it a try. I used it this past weekend. I actually used it to find somewhere to watch the West Ham-Tottenham game. Well worth doing. The MatchPint app, never miss a sporting moment. Right, let's get into the games. Well, let's go through just each of these games. Pick them through one by one. We'll pick them. There's no need to go into too much depth. Starting off with the Eagles at the Lions. This is absolutely must win for Philadelphia after they have completely fallen apart again this week. There's infighting. There's so much nonsense going on. The Lions defense have really stood up and played well recently, but it all, as I said earlier, kind of indicates to me that we'll see the Eagles pull out a win.
Oh, no, I believe in the Lions. I believe in JBC and his offense. I'm going Lions win, getting Calvin Johnson going. I don't think they can have yet another week where the running game doesn't go. So Abdullah, Bell, all of those guys will get something going against the Eagles, who their defense has been absolutely abysmal. Giving up 5 touchdowns to a rookie in Jameis Winston. Yeah, I'm all for the Lions on this.
Going on, the next game is the Panthers at the Cowboys. What a game this is. The 10-0 Carolina Panthers travelling to the Cowboys, who are 3-0 with Tony Romo under centre. That's how I'm selling this one. Carolina, just too good in every level for me. I think their defence will shut Romo down, and I think this will be the game that shushes the Cowboys fans about their playoff hopes.
And
I know it's a short week, and I know Carolina are on the road, but I think that Dallas lose this one in the prime time.
Well, Carolina went up massively in the first half at the weekend, and in the second half they were just playing for a draw almost. Do you know what I mean? They weren't exerting themselves. They were just containing, and I think they were conserving energy for this game at the AT&T. It's the AT&T, right?
It is at the AT&T. Yeah,
we are seeing one player coming back to face his former side. He says it's just another game. A player that we hate. I will never mention his name again. And I'm hoping that Carolina destroy the Cowboys, because guys, having him still on your team is an affront to decency. And I think you're a disgrace. Well, and for that reason, we should probably rename the Division of Disgrace.
I'm not basing it just on where he is, because that's giving him too much respect. So I think we both got Panthers in that one. And just to let you know, fans listening at home, that the Panthers are not the favourites, according to bookies, in this game. So if you are a betting man, maybe go and put a bit of money. It's a tight one. They're only slightly underdogs, but they're currently underdogs. I'd go and put some money on it before the bookies realise how ridiculous they're being.
But we don't condone betting on this show.
Why not? It's illegal in this country. It's legal in this country.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, go do it.
But obviously, gamble responsibly. That's what we're saying.
Ah, that's it. I thought that was drink responsibly.
I think that's the same.
We don't do either.
And finally, the late game, 1:30 kickoff, the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. The Brett Favre honouring, he's retiring his jersey. He's going into the Hall of Fame very soon, I imagine. But the Bears have been very good recently, and the Packers were very bad until this last weekend. Did we see enough from the Packers on Sunday to make you think that they will handle the Bears in division? Ollie?
Yeah, you said you finished on Division, so that's normally like you're going to go down and say something else. You can't do Division. No, it wasn't that In Division. That you're going to carry on. Yeah, I think we have. I don't think the coaching team and Aaron Rodgers and the whole side can let a repeat of the Lions debacle happen ever again this season. I think Green Bay will have too much for them. Eddie Lacy back. Worried about the rush off the rush defense. Okay, it was pretty good against in stuffing Adrian Peterson, but I always worry about Green Bay's rushing defense.
So Jeremy Langford, maybe a big game. Who knows? It's going to be cold in Green Bay. It's going to be late over here, but it's one that's definitely going to be worth staying up for. As we said before, we're going to be at the Hippodrome to watch this game. So please come down and join us there. We're going to watch all of the games there in the theatre area. So come and find us. And if you're not living in London, you can always use the Matchpoint app to try and find out where showing the game's nearest you. Right, let's get on to people's tweets. Couple of tweets, couple of emails we've had coming in then to finish off. You can always get in touch with us at Gridiron on Twitter. Email us gridironpod@gmail.com. We should probably set up a more official one than that. But I think there is like a gridironpod@gridiron-magazine or something like that. But I've forgotten what the login is. So I'm just using the Gmail one for now. Probably shouldn't admit that. But there we go.
Never.
We had some really good ones in. Dave, who tweeted us about the Eagles already during the show, asked us, what made you support the teams you do? And asked, can we guess why he supports the Eagles? Hashtag NFL Eagles, hashtag EPL Eagles. So I'm guessing it's because he's a Crystal Palace fan.
Did you hear this week, last week, of a guy was arrested for trying to punch the Eagle?
It had to be an Eagles fan trying to punch the Eagle.
No. It was Crystal Palace.
Oh, right, okay.
You know the Crystal Palace have an eagle?
Yes, yeah.
Someone tried to punch the actual eagle rather than the eagle mascot. I think that's amazing.
Incredible. So we've probably talked about this on the pod before, but probably way back when. So, Ollie, tell the listeners why you're a Green Bay Packers fan.
Packers fan because in the late 80s, early 90s, my mum's...
He is that old.
Yeah, my mum's boyfriend was a Green Bay fan. He did a load of Camp America out in Green Bay. And
Wisconsin,
and I ended up following Green Bay because of that. When I went to America to watch the Atlanta Olympics, I got my first Brett Favre number 4 jersey.
Oh, and it's been Brett Favre followed by Aaron Rodgers. What a horrible 15 or 20 years it's been for you, Ollie Hunter.
20.
Bastard.
Yeah.
I am a San Francisco 49ers fan. It's a shame to admit that this season. I started supporting them probably in the early noughties because I am that much younger than Ollie. My dad works for a company who are based out in San Francisco, so I spent some time there going out to visit him, watched some games on the telly. I was too young to go to a bar, but watched some games on the telly there. I'd kind of had an interest in the NFL in the kind of early mid-90s, and I watched some of the stuff on Channel 4, but I'd never really got into it enough to have a team. And before I went to university, I started to get really into it, and then at uni we watched it week in, week out. So I picked the 49ers because they were the team I was most likely to get to go and see live, basically. Fell in love with them, had 8 playoffless years with them, so I knew what suffering kind of was. And then we had a good few years, and then it went horrible again. I heard the best analogy on the Katie Nolan podcast this week, Garbage Time, which is well worth listening to. It's funny stuff. From a comedian who's a 49ers fan who compared it to, like, for 20 years, your dad had a really great job. You went on fantastic holidays. You know, you were treated all the time. And then suddenly he got on the drink and the smack. And for 8 years, you became bankrupt. You became a total mess. You couldn't afford anything.
You lived on the street.
And then, you know, he managed to clean himself up for a few years. Maybe a friend of his got him a job. He managed to start working. He managed to get clean. And for a few years, it looked like things were back on the up again. And now he's back on the smack once more. That's the analogy I heard, and I liked it a lot.
That's a great one. I loved that.
And we had a really great email in from Cal, who's obviously regular getting in touch with the show. Just to read it through, I'll skip off the first sentence because it's too high praise. Had a quick question. For some reason, everyone hates quarterbacks of other teams for no apparent reason other than they just don't like their face, their body language, their commercials, etc. He's given us his irrational quarterback hatred rankings.
I love that.
And he says the rankings can fluctuate every week, but usually a solid top 5, and asked us if we have his. So just to run through his top 5, here's a Rivers, Eli, Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick, Ryan Tannehill, right? I won't bother going into his reasons in too much depth because we're quite late into it. He did say Andrew Luck's disturbingly deep voice almost got him in the top 10, as it's one of those weirdly irrelevant things. But Ollie, who are the quarterbacks in the NFL you hate and you can't place? You can probably place a finger on why, but it's not a reasonable reason to hate them.
Case Keenum.
Why do you hate Case Keenum?
Because he's not any good. Plus, what a stupid name like Case. I mean, really, what's the point?
Okay.
What's the point? What about you?
Is he in at one with a bullet for you?
No. Bullet, it's Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler, I think, is both of our number ones. That's absolutely fair. Incredibly rude to me on two separate occasions. And
well, I quite like him for that. He's, but
he's also a terrible human being. Who else is in your list?
Johnny Manziel. But for calling himself Johnny Football, off.
I'm not sure he called himself Johnny Football. I don't think that's how it
works.
He's
trademarked it. He's a prick and he should stop it. He's falling, punching people, going into rehab. You're one of a very, very few select group of people. It's a global game now. A billion people would love to play in the NFL. You are naffing it up year after year. I hate you, Johnny Manziel.
You've got two more.
I'm struggling now.
All right, I don't
really like TJ Yates. TJ's stupid name.
Your list is TJ Yates, Case Keenum and Johnny Football, other than Jay Cutler. You've got no starters in there. Get me some starters. Get me some big names.
I don't really like Eli Manning.
Why do you hate Eli? I kind of like Eli Manning.
I
know he's surly and I know he's annoying. I should hate him for the same reasons I hate Jay Cutler, but I just kind of like him.
Well, because he's got more Super Bowl rings than Peyton Manning.
That's hilarious.
I just don't like him. There's something about him I don't like. Oh, another one. Teddy Bridgewater.
Why Teddy?
I just don't get it.
We're up to six.
I don't get it. I don't know why people like him. And I hate those people as well. I just don't get it. He plays for the Minnesota Vikings. I just don't get it.
Okay. I never expected you to get quite that vehement about it.
Vehement. Oh, there's another one, but he's also in your list as well.
I'm going to have Colin Kaepernick in my list.
Wow! Own quarterback.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Tom Brady obviously makes my list because he's a cheat. And it's not just so much that he's a cheat because he's a delight.
You know, he had sex with his nanny.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
When he's got Giselle. Brady.
Yeah, there is that. I've had conversations with Tom Brady on two separate occasions. I've been lucky enough to do that. And he has been delightful both times. When we were in,
sorry,
oh my God, so much beeping in this last section of the show. Like, are you getting so angry about this?
I'm really sorry about that.
You saw him in the locker room after the Super Bowl. He had so much time for absolutely everyone, and it was a lovely sight to see. But yeah, he needs to get out of the league ASAP. I'm bored. I just consistently winning gets on my nerves. Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the guy that I was alluding to, and there's one particular reason.
Why won't you sleep with Ciara?
You're an idiot! Ciara's incredible!
And there's the fact that he's the worst interviewee, he never throws anyone or anything under the bus. He never gets angry about anything. He's the most level-headed. He could have like a 5-touchdown game, throw for 400 yards in the Super Bowl, and he'd still just come out with, yeah, well, I think it was a really good team effort. Mm. And I think it was, yeah, I've got nothing really very interesting to say, and I say it on a really measured way, and I hate it. I hate when players are like that. I think I'm only on four, though. That's Cutler, yeah. Brady, Kaepernick, my own quarterback.
You need another.
And Russell Wilson. I do need another one.
I had to fill.
Who would I go for as my last one? I don't know if there is anyone else I hate, you know. Like, not irrationally. Not like in his list, he's got Peyton, like, too many adverts like that. He's got Ryan Tannehill, can't explain this one. Can I just put Jay Cutler in there twice?
Nope. Come on.
I don't know. Starting NFL quarterbacks. Let's do some Googling.
You don't need starting. I've got some backups in there.
Yeah, I'm not putting backups in there. I'm not an absolute tool. Oh, do you know who I do hate? And I said I wanted to pick a starter, but I feel like, I think this guy's not even on a team at the moment, but Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn has earned $25 million for playing about four snaps of football.
That's a great shout.
Piss off, Matt Flynn.
Do one, Flinny.
You make me sick. Now I'm looking at Geno Smith. That's another one. Yeah. Can't stand Geno Smith. Actually, Geno Smith probably jumps above Matt Flynn because he's actually got a job at the moment. So there are ones in there. Let us know yours. Send us your top five irrational quarterback hatred. That's quite a good fun list to put together. Ollie, let's finish things off. Is there anything you want to add? Any final thoughts? Anything you'd like to bring the show to a close with?
No, I'm really hungry. I want to go and get something to eat.
That's absolutely fine. Well, thank you so much for listening. As always, this has been the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tours. Sports Travel for sports fans, by sports fans. Keep getting in touch with us if you're interested in our road trip next year. We've had quite a lot of people getting in touch, and it sounds like it's going to be a really exciting trip. We can send you out all the details, the pricing for this year. It's going to be really exciting. Keep checking us out on Twitter at Gridiron. Don't forget, because there's three Thursday night games this week, the early one starting at 5:30. You need to get your picks in on the Gridiron. Predict a game at gridiron-magazine.com nice and early. And if you're listening to this and streaming online or something like that, you can subscribe on iTunes or on any podcatcher. Just search The Gridiron Show on any of those locations. Otherwise, thank you for listening. Ollie, I ask one final time, any final thoughts?
No, looking forward to seeing you again. It's on Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. This has been The Gridiron.
Hello, you're listening to the Horse Ramble Daily, where we'll be covering all of your horse needs. And there's more. Every day during the Cheltenham Festival, Betway are giving you the chance to win £50,000 in the free-to-play or to win game. Head to betway.com to play now. Up next, more horses. Horse, horse, horse. Horse, horse, horse. Horse, horse, horse. Full terms apply. 18 plus only. BeGambleAware.org.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.